Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today as we get ready to conclude our interview. It's been three awesome days of interviews with Dr. Richard Ruling. Now, today, we'll be concluding by talking about what is happening in society today and how it relates to what the Bible says is the end time scenarios. We've had some great topics of discussion in the past couple days. If you missed any of this interview, you need to go back, listen to the last two episodes in order to catch up, because we do not have time to cover everything all over again. But today, we'll be talking about, you know, the wedding feast parables of Christ, how that relates to today. It's awesome. You need to stick with us because we have a lot of information to go over. And don't forget, get Dr. Ruling's book. The links are in the show notes down below. Now, back into the interview with Dr. Richard Ruling. Now, in one of our prior interviews, you talked about the wedding feast parables of Christ. Can you go over those 7 points again that you discovered in regards to those parables?
Yes. By the way, I would just say that we have misunderstood the wedding parables because I think that the most Protestants are looking for a rapture out of here, a quick snatch. Mm-hmm. And God has never worked that way in history. He's worked through trouble. The book of Daniel, Christ said to study the book of Daniel for end times. There's no rapture in the book of Daniel. You know, God was with Daniel in the first six chapters. He or his friends could have died any time, but God was with him. Yeah. And so I think if we understand the wedding parables, they the different points include the fact that there is a sudden event beyond which there is no time to get ready. The women who were asleep, and there was a cry, the bridegroom comes. Suddenly, five women realized they were out of oil and didn't have any light in their lamps. Well, they went to get oil, and they probably got there to the wedding of 15 minutes, maybe half hour late, but it was too late. They were not admitted, you know. And the man in Matthew 22 who didn't have a wedding garment on when the king came in, he was thrown out. Now, wedding garments were provided by the host, and it probably would only take 2 minutes to change in the bathroom or put something on, but no time to do that, you know. And my point is that if we aren't watching at the right time, and I believe this coming month is the time to watch, and it's based on the 9/11 clues. Here's God's foreknowledge. It says in Isaiah 46:10, he declares the end from the beginning, and he has arranged clues in the book of Numbers, not chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. It's 9/11, but the last six parables of Christ have links to situations that fit the Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11. The first one is as the days of Noah. We think, well, that was just eating, drinking, marrying, until Noah went into the ark. We don't think, but it actually tells when he went into the ark. It was the second month, second spring month, okay? They started the month in the spring, and May is the second spring month, okay? And Noah entered the ark on the 10th day, if you study this. And the 10th day is when the Passover sacrifice was selected in Egypt, in Exodus 12, verse 3. They set aside a lamb on the 10th day. Well, when people didn't go into the ark with Noah, they refused his invitation. They were selecting themselves for sacrifice. And I believe that we're coming up to a big event a month from now, actually a month from tonight, 4 weeks from tonight, I believe. We should watch and pray like Israel was told in Egypt. They were to be awake and pray that God would pass over them in judgment, that the judgment would not fall on them. And Christ prayed the same thing on his last night. He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," or "pass over me." Now, he didn't want it to fall on him. Well, God could not honor Christ's prayer on that because he had to save the world. And so he said, "Not my will, but yours will be done." That's what Christ prayed. And because of his death for us, we can all be saved, you know. But the point is that Passover is an appointed time the disciples were probably thinking Passover when they heard Christ talking about all this trouble in Matthew 24, one thing after another, and they were probably thinking Passover when Christ says, watch. Another clue for Passover, it was the word watch means be awake, from the Greek word Gregorio, and it would be unfair for Christ to ask us to be awake if he didn't tell us when. But if we know that Passover was the only night that was required, then that helps us, you know. Mm. And it was a time of judgment, okay? So those clues add up to the fact that we should watch at the time of Passover. But he says, but you don't know, and that's a poor translation because the Greek word eido means be aware, consider, understand. He was saying, but you don't understand. It's like a man traveling to a far country. Well, in the 9-11 clue of Numbers 9, verse 10-11, if a man took a long trip in spring and he couldn't get back in time for Passover, he was to keep it the second month. It was a provision for that second month Passover. And so Christ's closing parables, like the days of Noah or like a man traveling to a far country, all fit the second Passover, second month scenario. And I am looking, I will be watching and praying on the eve 4 weeks from tonight. I plan to celebrate communion with my family, you know, any friends that want to come, and then watch and pray. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a great prayer. I tend to fall asleep very soon. So I have found that if I will read what I do typically on that night is to read from the Gospels or from a book on biography on Christ's life, what he bore for us, what he did that night, what happened to him, and pray between chapters. It helps your focus to stay awake, and I believe that that's in harmony. That's eating the lamb spiritually. Israel ate a lamb physically. If we realize what he did for us, I think it's a spiritual application to eating the lamb. And if there's an event that night, which I believe there will be, we're ready for it. And because Luke 12, 36 and 37 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord... I'll back up. Verse 36 says, to be like men that wait for the Lord when he comes and knocks, that we open immediately. And the verse 37 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds watching. He will gird himself and make him sit down to eat and will serve him. And my point is that that's what happened to Christ. Christ did that on the Last Supper. He served his disciples. You remember he washed their feet and he fed them and and he said, this is my body, this is my blood, and so on. Well, we can do that and then be watching, and if he knocks, and the question is, what's the knock? You know, isn't Christ always at our door knocking? Well, there are multiple meanings to Scripture, and everybody, we all like the evangelical meaning that he's knocking at the door of our hearts, but we also forget that the only other place where Christ knocks, in Revelation 3:20, that church ended in an earthquake. It destroyed the church in around 63 A.D. They were materialistic, lukewarm, kept Christ outside. You know, they were focused on their things, and they thought they were rich and increased with goods. But God said they were really a wretched, poor, and blind and naked. Well, blind and naked is a bad combination for a knock at the door. Blind means you can't find the door very well, and naked means you can't open the door. So, you know, it's bad situation for America in the sense that we are not ready for what's coming. And I believe that the day of the Lord in the Bible opens with a huge earthquake. In Isaiah 2, verse 12, it says it's the day of the Lord and it'll be upon all the proud people. And verse 21 says the Lord will arise to shake terribly the earth. The New King James says he will shake the earth mightily, shake the earth mightily. So, I believe we're ripe for a big earthquake that will really change the architecture of this country and probably bring in martial law. The next parable after the days of Noah, it says, then two will be in the field, one taken, the other left. And in Luke, the 17th chapter, the last verses of Luke 17 say, the disciples say, where, Lord? Where are they taken, in other words? And he says, well, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered, which means not good. You know, you don't want to be a body. It's not good to be taken. You know, it's good. It's right. The flood took them all away. They died, and it's better to be left. So, I just say we've misunderstood that from those fictional movies. They made billions, probably, but it's misled a lot of people.
Wow. Amen. And you say now that's May 22nd, is what you're saying?
It's 4 weeks from tonight. I believe it's May 20 and 21.
Okay.
I plan to watch and pray. I'm going to look this up in my little pocket calendar book as we talk right now, just to confirm what I'm telling you. May 20 on the night. That's Monday night. And you know, it's interesting that in the Roman calendar that we have, Gregorian, they named the different in the Bible. It was not a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday,
right.
You know. But Monday is Moon Day. It's like the church.
Yep.
But Tuesday in Spanish is Martes or Mars. The planet Mars is war, and I believe that we will be transitioning from church to war, in the sense, like in the Revelation 6,
yeah.
Remember the white horse, but then comes the red horse of war, takes peace from the earth.
Yep.
I believe we will be moving that direction.
Wow.
As a result of what happens May 20.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is that because of the time zones, you know, are we looking at Israel time, or, you know?
Well, you know, judgment on this country, I believe, will take the... Let me just say this. I have a favorite author that means a lot to me, and she... Let me just say... I'm coming from a Seventh-day Adventist background, but I'm no longer Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not trying to get anybody to join that church, but I believe that she was an inspired author who founded the medical school where I taught. And it has been given $40 million by NIH to find out why Seventh-day Adventists live about 7 years longer than other non-smoking groups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could have saved them some money if they'd have come to me, because it's what we put in our mouth. You know, it's what, and she wrote very, and she did not want to be taught at her medical school. She wanted natural remedies. And sadly, they hijacked the school from her to teach pharmacology and be accredited by the AMA.
Mm.
And she visited the school and had a vision of an earthquake, and she said many lives were blotted out, and it seemed that judgment day had come. And I believe that her vision will apply to the San Andreas Fault that's in California, and it's said to be locked, loaded, and ready to roll. And it's not just about Loma Linda and what they did that was wrong. It was Hollywood, and you know, people in Iran consider this country the great Satan. A Christian nation is a great Satan because of Hollywood and smoking, drinking, drugs, alternate lifestyles, and all of that. Well, that's not Christianity. That's Hollywood, you know. But I believe something huge is coming of judgment. And interestingly enough, Ellen White, when she visited the campus and was commenting on her vision, she quoted Zephaniah 1:8 that says, in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, which is Passover, God is saying, I will punish the king's children. And I believe that's the church that I used to be a member of. I've asked them to take my name off. Because they aren't walking in the light, you know, and they're like, and that doesn't mean they're worse than every other denomination is they're stuck in history.
Yep.
They're not open to what's happening, and you know, there's other truth besides, you know, just what we grew up with, you know, basically
tradition. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's wow. Before we close, I want to shift gears a little bit. And
okay.
As a healthcare professional for all these years, what's the difference between medical care and healthcare?
Okay. First of all, I took internal medicine, and I was board certified in it. And medicine is the diagnosis and treatment of disease. It's not about health at all. You don't talk about health when you're in medical school or when I took my residency. It's about how to diagnose this disease. And you get different symptoms. You have fluid in the lungs, or you know, and your swelling of the ankles and the symptom complex. You know, and well, this is heart disease. You know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so medical care is focused on the disease diagnosis, not the health diagnosis. And the problem is, from my perspective, is that what we put in our body from the day we're born is what makes that body 20, 40, 60, 80 years later. And if we put the wrong things in, we don't have the right building blocks. We don't have good building blocks. I grew up as my dad was a doctor, okay, and most winters I got a penicillin shot because I wasn't big and muscular like my pals I went around with, but I enjoyed running and playing also. But I made a change in college, and I actually became a vegetarian. And in the 60 years since then, I have not had but except one prescription. When I was on a trip and I got intestinal flu and I didn't want to stop at every bathroom, I filled a prescription for something to stop the diarrhea, you know, Lomotil, but is the name of the drug. But other than that, I have not had one antibiotic or any other prescription, and I'm in excellent health. I would not trade. I'm in better health at 77 now than about half my age in the 30s when I was teaching at Loma Linda. I had headaches then, didn't know the cause, et cetera, but it was turned out to be something I was eating. And my point is that if we didn't have so much symptomatic relief, we would probably get to the bottom of what's causing our problems. But doctors don't want to talk to people about what they eat. That's time consuming. It's much easier to walk into a room, what's your problem, and here's a prescription for your cough or your pain or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, amen. Since we talked last at one time because of all the medical issues and stuff because of my injury, I was on four different pain medications, I'll call them that.
Oh, my.
And three of them were at the maximum dose allowed by the FDA. You know, if they go any milligrams higher, it would be considered experimental, wouldn't be covered by insurance.
Wow.
And October 15th of last year, I just, you know, I was going to the doctor, and he said, well, here, let me give you, you know, we'll try. I came back home, and I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I just quit taking all of the pain meds, every one of them. I just stopped.
And you went through trouble for a while.
Oh, boy. You know, I did not realize it had affected me that much, you know.
Yeah.
I went. It was probably 3 months before I got back to any sense of normalcy, but I went 4 days with maybe 30 minutes of sleep. I mean, I just, you know,
wow.
I had night chills and I was sweating. Every day we washed the sheets and blankets because I just sweat through them.
God bless you. God bless you. You did something that most people would never do, but you got freedom.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I mean, but I got chewed out by my doctor. You're not supposed to do that unless I said, hey, I just seen you the day before, and that night I decided I'd had it. You know, and that was it.
I understand.
But it was a rough 3 weeks. It went about 3 weeks before, you know, I could even begin to think normally. It was rough, but I look
bless
back now and I was like, praise God, I'm delivered from all that stuff.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you on that. And somehow the real serious medicines do take more than just a few days. It takes usually a minimum of about 5 days to get rid of some drugs like tobacco. There's a 5-day plan. I've helped I was at the University of Arizona when we had about 150 people in the class, and on the fifth night we asked them, and 100 people had not smoked in the previous night. So it takes about 5 days to get it out of your system mostly, and then you're over the hump. But for some of these prescription drugs or IV stuff, it's worse than that still, you know. And you somehow God did help you. And
yes, He did.
I honor you for that. I've never had to face anything that severe, but you did the right thing, and just don't look back.
It was looking back at it. You know, the first 3 or 4 days, like I said, I didn't sleep hardly at all. I couldn't. It was just impossible. And I think I was just so exhausted. That's why I slept the fourth day, but even then it was only like 2 or 3 hours, you know. But yeah, and you were just talking about the, you know, they just want to treat the symptoms. Here you go, here you go. And it started off something simple, you know, like Tramadol or something like that. I don't even know the name of them anymore. But, you know, it wasn't very powerful and it wasn't helping. So they upped it, you know, hydrocodone, and they upped the dose. And it just kept going. Over the course of 11 years, you know, I was ended up on 4 different pain medications. Yeah. And you know, I'd stagger them because I don't take all these at once, you know,
well,
type thing.
You named one that I worked in a pain clinic relieving somebody for a week when they were away, and everybody that walked through the door practically was addicted to hydrocodone. Yeah. And if they didn't get it, they thought they hadn't healed yet, even though that it had been a year since the injury or whatever. Yeah. But let me, if I may, and I have a chapter on healthcare in a book, 9/11, which also has the spiritual stuff, and they can. I don't know when our 28 minutes run out.
Just keep going. Because I wanted to ask you about your latest book. Tell us all about it. How they can get a copy and all that.
Okay. Well, 9/11 is about how Christ's closing parables have links that show when end times will begin, and it's related to 9/11 in the Bible, Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11. I think just 4 weeks from tonight, and to know how to be ready and to help share with others, because the wise virgins in the parable have light to share. We want to invite others to the wedding as well, and the book is if they were to go to a website, mayjudgmentday.com, May Judgment Day. There are a couple books there, 9/11 and also the earthquake and seven seals, because if there's an earthquake, they will want to understand the topics that we use to make a covenant with Christ. You know, God got an ignorant bride at Sinai. The bride worshipped a calf 40 days later, and this must not happen to Christ. There are 7 topics that are emphasized 7 times in the Bible that I believe are truths for end times. I'll give you just one example or two. By the way, it says that Christ said in Matthew 17, verse 11, that before he comes, Elijah will restore all things. And we might wonder, I've written to Jonathan Kahn, who wrote The Harbinger, and asked, what are the all things that are supposed to be restored, you know, et cetera. Well, these guys they're busy with lots of other things, but I don't think they see what needs to be restored. But if you look in Malachi 4, 4, and 5, it says, remember the law of Moses with statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah. And those statutes and judgments have a sevenfold emphasis in Ezekiel 20. Between verse 11 and 24, it's statutes, judgments, Sabbaths, statutes, judgments, Sabbaths. So that I'm seeing that just like Revelation is a book of seven horses, 7 seals, 7 thunders, 7 trumpets, etc., the sevens are a mark of end-time truth. And if God has emphasized it 7 times, I think it's for us. And so, like those statutes and judgments, those are part of the law. And I'll give you an example. When it says Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We wonder, how does the law convert us? Well, in Exodus 22:1, if you stole a sheep, you have to repay fourfold for sheep and fivefold for an oxen. Yep. Well, I wouldn't, you know, that will convert me if I had to repay fivefold. Not good. So the idea is the law, God is understands it, and that's so much better than, I saw a Muslim child of probably 6 or 7 years old, putting his arm under a tire to roll over it to break his arm because he stole bread. You know, what a sad situation that is. God's method is so much nicer, you know, to repay, and probably the parents were more responsible anyway for that child. Why didn't they get the bread, you know, et cetera? So my issue is that God has sevens, and so the topics, earthquake and seven seals, is how we can make a covenant with God, and be it's a prenuptial agreement so that we know what he wants from us. It's making a deal with God, and it explains why we need to do that, you know, basically. So anyway, mayjudgmentday.com, $5 gets both of these. You know, it's not about making money, really, but it takes time to try to get it all up and available, and so you get 2 books for the $5 donation on ebook. Or if you have a Kindle, you can go to Amazon and my name, Richard Ruling, type it in and they can get they can see my books there and whatever they want. I like 9/11 is the latest book, and it has more in it than most, along with this earthquake and seven seals.
Amen. I'll be putting links to all this in the show notes below as well.
Amen. Okay.
Glory to God.
I will, yeah.
I say, did you have something else to add to that?
No, I can send you the links if you like, so that it's
okay.
Thank you. All right.
There you go. Amen. And I'll just attach them to the show notes. Praise God. Now, I know we agree the soon return of Jesus. I mean, there are so many signs of the times. It's impossible to ignore anymore. So the next major event that you say we're about to witness is probably going to happen May 2021, right in that area.
I'm looking for it. I will be disappointed if it's not. I somehow think that there's enough reasons to expect for expectancy this year. The other thing that we didn't mention is that 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3 says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. Mm-hmm. And the President Trump's peace plan is going to be announced May 15. So when they're saying it, that's within a week later, we'll see. But anyway, hang on to your hat and let's watch and pray in the meantime.
Amen. Amen. Every time you come on, Dr. Ruling, you give us so much information that we truly need to consider. If anyone wanted to ask you a question, maybe do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
That website I mentioned, mayjudgmentday.com, on the right-hand column, the very last word on the thing is my email address, ruling7@juno. It's on mayjudgmentday.com at the bottom, and they can click that. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank
you. I'll put links down there to that as well. Folks,
okay.
There you have it. Nobody can make you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Nobody can stop you from going to hell either, if that's what you want to do. Nobody can pray you into heaven. As far as that goes, it has to be your own personal decision. Dr. Ruling has laid out some facts that he studied, and as he sees them, it is now up to you to decide whether what he says, whether what the Bible says, whether what Jesus says is true or not, or what the world has to say for that matter, what the evening news has to say, or your current politicians are saying. They don't determine facts, but the decision is up to you, and I caution you to consider wisely. Amen. Dr. Ruling,
amen.
Thank you for coming on the program for us today. It was just amazing to be able to reconnect with you. Every time you come on, you give us so much to think about, and I just thank you for all of that.
God bless you, Pastor Bob. Love you as a brother, and look forward to you in the kingdom. We'll fellowship.
Amen, amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Ruling and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faith. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.